Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. The unbelievable edition of the Daily Caller podcast. Good Lord, it's the 16th day of July 2019. It's a Tuesday, and it is presumably the day Congress is actually going to move quickly on something. They're going to condemn the president's tweets. Oh, they're heroes. Just ask them. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for rating and reviewing on iTunes. I appreciate every single one of them. Every person, every time somebody shares this podcast, an angel gets their wings. That's not me talking. That's science. Thank you for doing that. You're literally the only advertising we have. It's all because of you that this show grows. We're three reviews, written reviews, shy on iTunes, by the way, of reaching 200. We're over 720 star reviews. But if you could write a couple, I'd appreciate it. You can't only write one, so if you've already written one, thanks. If you haven't, come on, man, in the words of Joe Biden. Good Lord. By the way, you can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. You can also enter to win the signed Kayleigh McEnany books at that same email address. I got to tell you, I haven't responded to the emails yet because I was busy today. It was a very busy day. It's going to be a very busy week, but I've seen them all. And your creative spellings of Kayleigh McEnany's name make me feel smart. So, because I can't spell it either. So go ahead. I know what you mean, no matter how you spell it. Although I'm not sure how that person put the empty set in the middle of it. But yes, and this Friday's guest, I can announce, are going to be, because we recorded it today, so there's no threat of anybody screwing it up, Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino, their book, Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation, and the Future of the Supreme Court. We talk all about it for about a half an hour. We go through all the details. We get into the woods. We get into stories you never heard before about the Kavanaugh Confirmation and just how corrupt the left is in trying to destroy that man. So it was the number one book last week. Whether or not the New York Times decides that based on their screwed up calculus remains to be seen, but it should be. It certainly was the biggest book of the past 2 weeks and may or may not have a couple of signed copies to give away. You'll just have to wait until Friday to find out. Don't start emailing about it now because I'll lose them and I'll do it deliberately. We're doing the Kayleigh McEnany books this week. That's all there is to it. We'll give those away next week, the Kayleigh McEnany books. All right. Good Lord. What a group of 24 hours it has been. Just when you don't think it couldn't get any dumber, it gets dumber. It really does. The Democrats were in the midst of destroying each other, attacking each other, calling each other racist, because that's their default position. If you run into one of the Gang of Four in the halls of Congress and you say, "Good morning, Congresswoman," they say, "Racist." And then they snap, "Oh, sorry. Hello." Maybe, if they don't think you're a conservative. But they have a Pavlovian response to any criticism, and it is, "You're a racist, you're a meanie, you're a horrible person." And yesterday was all about that, and today will be all about that. Because the alternative would be to talk about what these four congresswomen actually stand for. The ties with terrorist sympathizers and terrorist-adjacent organizations. You don't want to do that. You don't want to talk about Rashid Tlaib's past. You don't want to talk about Ilhan Omar's comments about dual loyalty. I love this. The dual loyalty smear against Jews, and it's all about the Benjamins, baby, because the Jews control all the money. That was memory hold as quickly as humanly possible. The media was forced to cover it because they had it was just such an outrage that they couldn't help themselves. And her lame responses and the fact that the House of Representatives was going to condemn anti-Semitism and the progressives led by this Gang of Four said, "No, you can't. We will not vote for a resolution that condemns anti-Semitism because you're attacking a woman of color." That's the Democrats. I'm surprised they don't have it all just issued to them as a tramp stamp. It just ellipsis, especially women of color. In the Democrats' world, if you are the right configuration of a human being, you are not allowed to be criticized at all, under any circumstances, for any reason at all. It's a get out of responsibility free card. You can say the most heinous things. These four have spent the last 6 months since they came into the public consciousness calling the president of the United States a Nazi, calling the government of the United States a horrible, racist, fundamentally racist, founded on racism country that needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. They call their fellow American citizens concentration camp guards, comparing them to Nazis, cheapening the Holocaust by comparing it to the situation down on the southern border, which they have encouraged, yet they're the victims. They are upset. They are targeted. They are meanies by that meanie president of the United States who said something about them on Twitter that if you don't like it here, go away, go back home, go out, leave the country. And that's where the president got into trouble. The one turn of phrase in his tweet storm over the weekend was where he said, if you don't like it here, basically, go back to your home countries, these hellholes that have corrupt governments that you had to flee. Well, only one, as you hear in every single story about this, and I've been watching all night, and I'm ready to jump off a bridge watching this much cable news when I've sort of weaned myself off of it for the most part. I did get a nice respite with Below Deck Mediterranean, but it wasn't enough, damn it. And there were really uninspiring people moving to Glasgow on House Hunters International. So I spent a lot of time watching cable news, and everybody, including Fox, was going, well, only one of the four, Ilhan Omar, was not a natural-born U.S. citizen. The president shouldn't have said, go back to your own country, or whatever it was he exactly said, what exact quote was. He should have said, you're free to leave. This country, the beauty of this country, is it is a country that needs walls to keep people out. We can't have everybody in. Given their choice, at least half the world's population would love to live in this country. But we can't have that. We can't afford that. It would be economic suicide. Democrats know that, and they want that because it would be economic suicide. They want to collapse the system so that they can swoop in and say, we can fix it. Only we can rebuild him. Remember the beginning of, what was the name? The $6 million man. We can rebuild him. We have the technology. It seems quaint now. Even when I was a kid, $6 million seemed pretty cheap for what he ended up being able to do in the rerun stage. But I imagine the first run was a little bit different. It's so sad that in the 70s, $6 million seemed like a ton of money, and now the government spends $6 million in the time it takes me to say $6 million. But they act like why do I remember this crap? Oscar Goldman. The guy, I don't remember what the agency was, but we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We can make him better. That's what the left wants to do. They want to collapse the economy of this country so that they can swoop in and say, we can rebuild it. We can make it better. We have the technology. Of course, the rest of that saying that they would never say out loud is, sure, our ideas have failed everywhere else they've ever been tried in human history, but this time it will work because we have the benefit of our genius running the show. That's what they really want. The president should have said, instead of go back, just said, you're welcome to leave. You are welcome to leave. We don't have walls to keep people in. We have walls to keep people out. The countries that function, as much as you can call it functioning, on the system that these people and their fellow travelers want to institute, have walls to keep people in. If it were so wonderful a system in North Korea, if it were so wonderful a system in Cuba, you wouldn't have to risk your life to leave. You could just go. You could just get out of there. If it were so wonderful in China, they wouldn't have to have that weird facial recognition and social score that determines whether or not you can travel within your own country. And God forbid if in any of those countries you criticize the government. Yet these progressives, in quotes, sit there and insist that this president is a totalitarian, moving towards totalitarian, he wants to take, is a threat to our democracy. Any criticism of the press is met with uniform pearl-clutching by everybody with a media credential. He said mean things. He's a threat to our First Amendment and a threat to our democracy. Yet CNN, oh, by the way, the president has never actually moved against the media. He's just said criticisms on social media and in person about the media. They're a little hypersensitive. But CNN spent yesterday trying to get the president of the United States banned from Twitter. Why? Because of his racist tweets, of course. They, of course, have a history of this. They have doxed individuals, anonymous American citizens who have done things and tweeted things that they didn't particularly like, but they did it under anonymous accounts. And they just had the misfortune of something that they did going viral. And so CNN released their army of flying monkeys out into the wilderness to find these people, to confront them. The one guy who made the, remember when President Trump retweeted the meme video of Trump from, WrestleMania or whatever, probably 10 or 20 years ago, attacking, I think it must have been Vince McMahon, but they somebody superimposed the CNN logo over Vince McMahon's head. So it looked like Donald Trump was attacking CNN. It was 3 days of outrage, especially on CNN. MSNBC was upset he didn't use the Peacock logo. CNN was so upset that they unleashed Oliver Darcy, their internet reporter or whatever the hell he is, to find this person. They tracked this person down. And in a story, they said, they admitted this in their own freaking story, they have decided, since this person was just a private citizen doing this of their own volition, you know, somebody saying something CNN didn't like, that they wouldn't release this person's name unless they did something similar again in the future. They put that person on notice. That's not a threat to democracy. Now the media threatening, will, all right, we'll let you live this time. But if you screw up, if you do anything we don't like again, we're going to come and get you so hard you won't know what hit you. This is the insanity of the American left. So yesterday, before we even get to the Gang of Four's press conference, their Nuremberg rally with the media, this story from CNN. Twitter says Trump's racist tweets don't break its rules. I love how this is about race to the left. Everything is about race to the left. All they can do is divide people. They are desperate to divide people. You can call Donald Trump a Nazi all you want. You can call Republicans Nazis all you want. But if you criticize members of a marginalized community, especially women of color, that favorite phrase of the left, why it has to be based on race. Never mind the fact, and by the way, panels of learned individuals on payrolls of major news networks earning 6 and 7 figures sat around and talked about how Donald Trump always goes against women, especially women of color. And it's just because he's a horrible racist. Never mind the fact that over the weekend, they were talking about how Donald Trump was attacking Paul Ryan for Paul Ryan's criticisms of him in an upcoming book. Of course, I don't know Paul Ryan. Maybe there's something he's waiting to tell the group, but I highly doubt that it turns out that he's a woman of color. He had also recently, just the weekend before, gone after the British ambassador to the United States, calling him a very stupid person. I don't think that that white dude was secretly a woman of color, but who knows? It could be some kind of reverse Tropic Thunder thing that was going on. Those Brits have a weird sense of humor, so you never know. But Donald Trump is always going after women of color when not going after a whole bunch of white people. But that's beside the point. Don't bother these people with facts. They have no room in their head for it. They have room for a half a thought at a time, And that's enough to get a contributorship at MSNBC. The CNN story reads, President Trump's weekend tweets in which he used racist language to attack four progressive Democratic congresswomen are not against Twitter rules, a company spokesperson told CNN Business Monday, a conclusion apparently contradicted by Twitter's written policies. Twitter, or CNN, is trying to get the President of the United States banned from Twitter, as they, by the way, have gotten other people. They led the charge against Alex Jones, getting Alex Jones banned from Twitter, and Gavin McInnes, and you name anybody on the right who, the left labels an extremist a threat. They're monsters. CNN has had a hand in either actively advocating their banning and then cheering their banning. And now they're trying to go after the president. Why would they waste their time on such things? When it comes to the president of the United States, do they really think Twitter is going to get rid of somebody who gets them in the news every single day? Let's face it, Twitter ain't exactly a cash cow. Every once in a while, an ad pops up in your Twitter feed, and you're free to dismiss it and say, I don't like this ad, and then you don't see it anymore. I do it all the time. It's kind of fun, because I know it's costing these lefties money. But why would they waste their time? Because they want to get rid of Donald Trump from Twitter. They are desperate. This is just the latest example of them trying to point out to Twitter, desperately, essentially, and probably literally behind the scenes, begging Twitter to ban the President of the United States. Now, why would they care? Considering the amount of coverage that CNN itself produces in the course of a day over the tweets from the President of the United States and the amount of news that is broken in the Twitter feed of the President of the United States, why would CNN, why would these any liberal outlet want to try to get the president banned? Because it's the best avenue to you the President of the United States has. It is unfiltered. The president does not need to go to a bank of cameras and speak to a bunch of hostile reporters in order to get his message out. It used to be that way. President Reagan had to go and talk to the press or and take questions in order to get his message out. That was the only avenue. Grant an interview or hold a press conference or just a gaggle as you're walking by and you say something to the cameras. It had been that way for most of this country's history, and that power went right to the heads of the media. Barack Obama was credited as the first social media president, but he didn't use it as effectively as Donald Trump does. He didn't have to. He had the apparatus of the media. Why go around the media when they're desperately sitting there fawning over you, ready to sniff your throne, seeking ways to help you? Why not just go to them? And he did. He could. He was a Democrat. No matter how awful he was, no matter how horrible the economy was under him, he knew that those people in the press room were willing to unquestioningly repeat his lies without even a hint of anger, sarcasm, or suspicion. And they did that for 8 years. Donald Trump doesn't have that. He could come in at 5:37 and say it is 5:37 and Politico would run a fact check on it. And they would say, you know what, he didn't say which time zone it was in. So he could have, you know, this is ridiculous. You can't specify. It's at best mostly true. That's about as close as they ever get to the president. Of course, they tend to pick certain things to fact check, usually absurd things. But then absurdity is where these people live. So if you can shut off the spigot of Twitter for the President of the United States, then with 2020 just around the corner, that makes him getting his message out that much more difficult. Because if you remember, if you listen to the conversation with Kayleigh McEnany, this is something that is going to come into play in the 2020 election that I'm not sure people are fully aware of yet. But the president got $1 billion worth of free advertising from all the cable news networks. Every Trump rally was carried from beginning to end of his speech. Not the ramp up stuff, but his speech was carried nonstop, not only by Fox, but by MSNBC and CNN. Now, why did they do that? Because it was ratings gold. They could inflate their numbers, which helped them raise ad revenues. They loved it. Plus, they thought, it doesn't matter. We can show this stuff, get the audience, and still Hillary is going to win. She's got this thing nailed. Why worry? Why fret? Just show him. Let him. Well, a funny thing happened on the way to Hillary's inauguration. It didn't work out. So now CNN and MSNBC have resolved to not cover the president nearly as much. They're certainly not going to carry his rallies. They haven't been carrying his rallies. Fox sort of carries the rallies, but that will likely change too as they get a little squishy around the edges. So the president is already down, I would say, at least $750 million in future ad revenue, future in-kind donations from the media. He will still get a lot of coverage because he is the president of the United States. The value of that coverage will be significantly less because the audience of CNN and MSNBC is significantly less, but it will also be uniformly negative no matter what he does. His best avenue to you, to the American public, is not Fox News. Fox News on a really, really good night gets 4 million viewers in their top show. That's just nothing to sniff at, but it is not the 60 million or however many Twitter followers he's currently sitting on. It is not the follow-up and retweets of those millions and tens of millions of people that begin to spread his message, his videos, his memes, his message, his links, his websites. If you can shut that down, that would be damaging to the president. That is why CNN cares so deeply about this. That is why it is not journalism that CNN is practicing, but it is attempted political assassination. It's also why Twitter would be foolish to go down that route, and why they haven't gone down that route, and why they likely won't go down that route. They're crazy. They're not stupid. But speaking of stupid, that doesn't apply to everybody. Sometimes crazy and stupid goes hand in hand, and the collective gang of four really show that. They are outraged that the president of the United States would criticize them, especially women of color. They spent yesterday nailing themselves to the cross, and now Nancy Pelosi. This is why I think the president's tweet was a mistake. He should have just said, you're welcome to leave, rather than go back. Nancy Pelosi is introducing a resolution to condemn the president's tweets. The caucus that could not condemn anti-Semitism because the progressives in it would not vote for a resolution condemning anti-Semitism. So they ended up passing a watered-down, we condemn all hate. We condemn all hate. Oh, well, it's a really brave stand you got there. They are prepared and allegedly going to vote today on a resolution to condemn the president's racist tweets, because everything is racist. It is hilarious. It shows how quickly the government can move if they want to. If it's something they deemed important, they can get it done inside of 48 hours. But they don't really want to get it done in 48 hours. They don't want to get anything legislatively done. They certainly don't want to get anything legislatively done that the President of the United States might actually sign, because you're not allowed to work with this guy. He's the man you're trying to defeat and or impeach. So the resolution should come up for, it'll pass in the House of Representatives. The media will make a big deal about it, but here is the secret that the mainstream media won't bother to tell you, as they risk needing Tommy John surgery from patting themselves on the back so hard tomorrow. a resolution of condemnation in the House of Representatives doesn't mean anything. It's worthless. They're wasting taxpayer money and time. They're free to do it because they're not, and I'm glad they're doing it in a way, because they're not out there screwing up anything else or trying to screw up anything else. But I imagine this resolution, when all is said and done, and they're still crafting it now, will mention immigration. Oh, the sweet, nourishing immigrant. The desperate poor trying to get to this country. Donald Trump is a racist for this, and he's a racist for that, and he's a racist for other things. Meanwhile, their caucus is made up with people who are obsessed with race, who are actually racist. You ever know it? Well, let's give you an example of just a member of the Gang of Four. I mean, you could literally pick any member of the Gang of Four. You could pick almost any Democrat. But I want to play a clip from Netroots Nation, the little Nuremberg rally that they had over in Philadelphia over the weekend, of progressive, like-minded progressives who talk about democracy and then advocate for things that are wildly unpopular that will force you to do things you don't want to do. And they do it all, of course, in the name of democracy, which is the antithesis of democracy. But Trump's the totalitarian. This is Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley talking about, well, she's basically saying you're with me or you are the enemy. But she's not speaking to Whitey. Whitey's just, Whitey, who needs him? She's speaking to marginalized communities, especially communities of color. She's basically saying you're with me or you're an Uncle Tom. You do what I want or you're an Uncle Tom. Don't believe me? Listen to her own words.
Yes, I do quote Shirley Chisholm a lot, who said, if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring your own folding chair. But I've amended that because I don't want to bring a chair to an old table. This is the time to shake the table. This is the time to redefine that table. Because if you're going to come to this table, and for all of you that have aspirations of running for office, for whatever lived experience and identity that you represent, if you are not prepared to come to that table and to represent that voice, don't come. Because we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't need Muslims that don't want to be a Muslim voice. We don't need queers that don't want to be a queer voice. Come on. And if you're worried about being marginalized and stereotyped, please don't even show up. Because we need you to represent that voice. The midterm elections of 2018, they spoke a lot about each of our magic. I would never give short shrift to any of our magic, but this is work. And we put it in every day.
She's a hero. Just ask her. But if you're not, if you're a queer and you're not going to bring your queer voice, forget it. If you're blackface and you're not going to bring a black voice, forget it. Every one of these members of Congress represent, as they like to say, diverse districts. Ayanna Pressley apparently has no interest in representing the white people who live in her district, the Asians who live in her district, the Indian Americans who live in her district, the anybody other than the black people who live in her district, because she's only there to represent her people. This is a horribly racist idea. And if, by the way, your voice, as she's saying there, is you're with a Democrat, you're a Democrat. If you're a black conservative, forget it. If you're an Asian conservative, well, Asians don't really count. They on average, and people from India in this country are doing better economically than anybody else. It's people from India, then it's Asians, then it's Whitey, then it's evil Whitey. Whitey is really bad at racism. If there are two distinctly different minorities doing better economically in this country, having higher average income per family in this country than them, how is it that the Asians and the Indians are able to immigrate to the United States of America and earn more money than their white oppressors? That's why they don't get talked about. That's why nobody bothers mentioning them. That's why they don't cut it. It is all black and Hispanic, and that's it. Somehow other people manage to navigate this horribly racist system, and blacks and Hispanics who manage to navigate this horribly racist system, they aren't celebrated. They are attacked. Because it's not just what you look like, it's what you think and what you do. And if you blow up the narrative, if you destroy the narrative, if you don't allow yourself, demand that you yourself be constricted by the liberal narrative, you might as well not exist. Ask Condoleezza Rice. Ask all these champions of lifting up voices from marginalized communities, especially women of color, if they would support Condoleezza Rice running for Senate out in California. Of course they wouldn't. Not even against Dianne Feinstein, who is so white, her camouflage in a snowstorm is nudity. No, that is not what they really mean. When called on it, and when it's, well, I wouldn't say they're ever called on it, and it's never pointed out their hypocrisy, because the people who would do that, the people whose job it would be to do that, are the anchors and the journalists, and they just aren't interested in it. They are on board with this. They give an amen whenever asked for one about how horribly racist this country is. Well, I think it's horribly racist to look at somebody's color of their skin and say, this is what you must think. And if you do not think this way, you are not welcome. Don't come around here. You're not part of my team. That's racism. That's the textbook definition of racism. But of course, people who look at the dictionary definition of words like gender and go, meh, I'm just going to ignore it. Of course, they're not going to care what the definition of racism is. Racism is now disagreeing with a Democrat, disagreeing with a progressive, criticizing a Democrat, especially a Democrat of color. That's how insane they are. So while I think the President of the United States could have used better wording in his tweets, the sentiment remains valid. If you think this country sucks so bad, you're free to leave. You're free to. That's the beauty of this country. Or you're free to sit here and try to change it. But when you're polling at 9% approval, which Ilhan Omar is in a national poll, or 22%, which is the record for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you don't have the sentiments and the support of the American people. One would think that rather than simply insisting that their will be imposed on the American people, that they would try to do something crazy, something truly revolutionary. And that would be, oh, what am I thinking of? Oh, yes, trying to convince the American people, trying to sell their ideas to the American people to get the support they already claim they have. But why bother? If you can claim that you have this support and this mandate and then couch it in it is a moral imperative that your left-wing, rabidly anti-American agenda be instituted, why bother with formalities? They have never been asked in a press conference or in an interview, because their interviews are conducted in the safe spaces of MSNBC and CNN. They have never been asked about the relative unpopularity of their ideas. And what I would ask any one of these people is, what do you say to the people who aren't interested in this? The people who are already having a tough enough time to get by, who now you want to pay more in taxes to subsidize illegal aliens and their legal defense fund. Where is the democracy in forcing people to do things they don't want to do, to buy into things they don't want to buy in? What part of democracy, what part of liberty, and what part of the Constitution empowers the federal government to force American citizens to do things under penalty of fine and or prison that they do not wish to do? They won't have an answer. Of course, they'll never be asked the question. That would require something a little bit too much like journalism, and journalism is dead. At the press conference, we've got, you know, I've gone on such a long rant already, but I've got a lot of audio I want to kind of cram into the last half an hour here. The Gang of Four gathered in the House Press Gallery and held a press conference where they each read a statement. I have a little statement from some of the statement from Ilhan Omar, who really sounds illiterate. I didn't realize how poorly she spoke English. She's been here since she was 12, and she still can't speak clearly. of Ilhan Omar. I have two cuts of her. I have one AOC and one Rashida Tlaib. And then I have the very first question they were asked that, I don't know, maybe this reporter has a crush on them. It's a female reporter from ABC News. Who knows? You're not allowed to judge. I don't know how this person identifies. They seem to identify as a journalist, but their question certainly leads me to question the science behind that as well. But let's go to the audio tape, shall we? Or the at least digital file. This is Ilhan Omar, who every time she's referred to now, I think you legally have to say she's the first Muslim woman elected to Congress. Rashida, I think she beat Rashida Tlaib by a couple of minutes in the calling of their races. But let's listen to Ilhan Omar's opening statement and kind of pay attention to just how poorly she speaks the language.
I believe this is a pivotal moment in our country. The eyes of history is watching us. Right now, the president is carrying out mass deportation raids across this country, in each one of our districts. Right now, the president is committing human rights abuses at the border, keeping children in cages, and having human beings drinking out of toilets. This president, who has been credibly accused of committing multiple crimes, including colluding with foreign government to interfere with our election. This is a president who has overseen the most corrupt administration in our history and pursued an agenda to allow millions of Americans to die from a lack of health care while he transfers millions of dollars in tax cuts to corporations. This is a president who has said, grab women by the pussy. This is a president who's called black athletes sons of bitches. This is a president who has called black people who come from black and brown countries shitholes. This is a president who has equated neo-Nazis with those who protest against them in Charlottesville. This is a president who has openly violated the very value our country aspires to uphold. Equality under the law, religious liberty, equal protection, and protection from persecution. And to distract from that, he's launching a blatantly racist attack on four duly elected members of the United States of House of Representatives, all of whom are women of color.
Ding, 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 women of color, all of whom are women of color, all of whom are also batshit crazy and hate this country. That's kind of an important little distinction, but you're not allowed to criticize women of color, even if they are batshit crazy and hate this country. And I can't say that. Oh my God, Derek, what's the matter with you? Why do you hate marginalized communities, especially women of color? Oh no. I'm going to sip my latte and judge you over here. This is just not right. Did you notice all the mispronunciations of things? She was reading the statement, by the way. You can tell by the passion in her voice. It was as if it were written by somebody else, or the first time she'd ever seen some of these words. Just for fun, I decided to go through and pick out the mispronunciations that she made in here. Some of them are subtle, like athletes. Athletes. Well, you should plug that athlete. If your ath is leaking, oh man, get to a proctologist right away. But in that very short statement right there, she mispronounced quite a few things. Listen to him, just for fun.
I believe this is a pivotal moment in our country. The eyes of history is watching us to interfere with our election while he transfers millions. This is a president who's called black athletes sons of bitches, those who protest against them in Charlottesville. Blatantly racist of the United States of House of Representatives.
The United States of House of Representatives. Yes, if your athlete leaks for more than 4 hours, see your proctologist or get a cork. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. She was reading it though, and he said, "Oh, Derek, she's an immigrant. She came to the country when she was 12, so it's been over 20 years. I get it if you come to this country when you're in your 40s or your 50s and you just never lose the accent, but that's not an accent. She's mispronouncing things that she's reading them and mispronouncing them. Presumably, she cares so deeply about this issue and this racist president that she wouldn't have a staffer write a statement like that, would she? She wouldn't do that. It wouldn't be a coordinated press conference like that, would it? Maybe her F is leaking. Look, I don't know what happens when you marry your brother. Allegedly married her brother. She could easily deny that she married her brother, but she won't. She won't talk about it. But, you know, funny things happen. I'm not implying that that marriage was consummated at all. That would be wrong. That would be wrong. I would never imply that. Nor would I ever really truly imply that she married her brother. I would just follow the paper trail that seems to heavily suggest that she married her brother. Anyway, we're straying. She is one of the good ones. She's one of the best, most proactive, amazing women of color of Congress it's ever been. I heard it on CNN. It has to be true. It has to be. She continued reading horribly at this press conference.
He would love nothing more than to divide our country based on race, religion, gender, orientation, or immigration status. Because this is the only way he knows he can prevent the solidarity of us working together across all of our differences. The only way to prevent us confronting the problems our country is facing, whether it is healthcare, climate change, student debt, or our endless wars.
This country is so horrible. The president's racism is stopping them from working together to pass legislation. There's nothing stopping them from passing legislation. If the environment is so important, where's the Green New Deal legislation? We got a resolution. We have a non-binding resolution. We don't have a piece of legislation. Why don't we have that piece of legislation? Why isn't the House churning out things left and right? It's because Nancy Pelosi knows that if these people were able to write bills that were voted on in the House of Representatives, A, most of them would fail because Democrats aren't suicidal. And secondly, all Democrats would be painted with the lunacy brush that the Gang of Four so lovingly embraces. These people live such insulated lives that they truly believe that what they support is wildly popular. They are, like I said, in the country, according to a poll that was leaked to Axios, from the Democrats, they have wild name recognition, certainly much more than most members of the House of Representatives. But as far as approval, Ilhan Omar sits in the basement with 9%. Turns out that anti-Semitism isn't super wildly popular with the American public. 9% approval rating for Ilhan Omar, but to hear her speak, you would think that if she were only a natural-born citizen, she would be leading the Democratic Party field for the 2020 nomination for president. And of course, it's racism and xenophobia that's preventing her from doing just that. This is who these people are. This is what they believe. They don't expose themselves to, except for maybe family members. Hey, I'm not the one saying she was married to her brother. But they don't expose themselves to contrary opinions. They sit around and tut-tut it at cocktail parties and judging sessions or, you know, fundraisers for Hamas. I don't know where these people hang out. One can only imagine. So next up to the microphone was AOC herself. She had a much quicker statement. She also had a prepared statement because when you speak from the heart, you have to read it, and you're going to list a laundry list of garbage lies. You have to read it, lest you forget.
And so the first note that I want to tell children across this country is that no matter what the president says, this country belongs to you. Mm-hmm. And it belongs to everyone. And today, that notion, that very notion was challenged. This weekend, that very notion was challenged. So I am not surprised
when the president says that four sitting members of Congress should, quote, go back to their own country, when he has authorized raids without warrants on thousands of these across this country. I am not surprised that he uses the rhetoric that he does when he violates international human rights and takes thousands of children away from their families. I am not surprised that he has turned our public education system under the leadership of Betsy DeVos into a cash cow to enrich himself and his friends. I am not surprised when he corrupts via the Secretary of Transportation. I am not surprised at what he's doing. But I also know that we're focused on making it better, because we don't leave the things that we love. And when we love this country, what that means is that we propose the solutions to fix it. We love all people in this country, and that's why we believe health care is a human right. We love all children in this country, and because we do, that's why we fight for education for all children through college. And so we'll stay focused on our agenda, and we won't get caught slipping, because all of this is a distraction. It's a distraction from what's most important and from our core values as American citizens.
Oh, our core values. I love being lectured about our core values by people who belittle the values of anybody who disagrees with them. Our core values are abortion right up until the mother takes the child home from the hospital. Because you never know. I mean, look, you can make the baby comfortable. And then, look, fully formed organs are worth a hell of a lot more to Planned Parenthood than those organs of, you know, five-month-old fetuses. So that woman in that Center for Medical Progress video can get her Lamborghini. Come on. These are our core values. Don't you love how they all he's trying to divide us. And then every one of them in their own way talks about how dare he criticize women of color. Isn't that dividing yourselves from every other American? Didn't we just get lectured from Ayaan Pressley about if you're not going to be the right kind of black voice, you just need to shut up. We don't want to hear from you. If you're not prepared to come here and speak for only people who look like you, we don't want to hear from you. These are pretty well direct translations from the original German. Whereas Joe Biden got in trouble for plagiarizing a Neil Kinnock biographical speech, they're not going to get in trouble for the original source of their words, because it's more the spirit of what they say than the actual direct translation. But make no mistake, you could have heard all of this in Nuremberg in 1933 in one way or another. Now we go to Rashida Tlaib, the last member that we haven't heard from yet, from the Gang of Four. She represents, keep in mind, she talks about how poor her district is. Her district has been represented by Democrats for a very, very long time. So that's not really something you want to brag about there, Rashida. It's actually the district that I grew up in. So I am one of her former constituents. I luckily escaped in a hot air balloon after college, but the rest of my family still lives there. They are disgusted, I hope. I don't know, but I'd hope they are disgusted by their member of Congress. It doesn't matter. She won with like 85% of the vote. In all of the pearl clutching and whining about, oh, gerrymandering, it's politicians picking their voters and not the voters picking their politicians. There's a district in Michigan where I grew up, very blue collar, but very liberal. Large swaths of hand-selected, predetermined Democratic voters that put someone like Rashida Tlaib in Congress. You do not hear Eric Holder and his little gerrymandering group whining about that at all. It's kind of weird, don't you think? Anyway, here is the Congresswoman from Hamas.
Thank you to my sisters in service. Thank you all so much for being here. As we all know, the recent tweets and words from the president are simply a continuation of his racist and xenophobic playbook. We cannot allow these hateful actions by the president to distract us from the critical work to hold this administration accountable to the inhumane conditions at the border that is separating children from their loved ones and caging them up in illegal, horrific conditions. I represent the third poorest congressional district in this country, one that is made up of working people who have been targeted by this administration, and their actions and words are hurting them today. I was elected to fight for them, fight for the 13th congressional district. They sent me here to Congress to fight back against the corporate assault and the corruption in our country. This means supporting an impeachment inquiry of this president and his actions by the administration and his appointees. Sadly, this is not the first, nor will it be the last time we hear disgusting, bigoted language from the president. We know this is who he is, and we know that he and his administration are constantly engaged in actions that harm residents and American people in our country. Many members of Congress have called for his impeachment because of his utter disregard and disrespect of the United States Constitution. And despite this and other many attempts to distract us, I remain focused. We remain focused on holding him accountable to the laws of this land and accountable to the American people. I urge House leadership, many of my colleagues, to take action to impeach this lawless president today.
You ever notice how these gutter snipes never actually list the so-called impeachable offenses? Hey, Donald Trump just exists wrong. I suspect that the Gang of Four doesn't like him because he's white. I also don't like him because he's not a liberal Democrat. But it's mostly because he's white. Was that racist? Oh, I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have said that. But that's what they say about everybody else. So why can't we just use it against them? It should just be used against them. These people should be dismissed as the horrible gutter snipe racists that they truly are. Yet they are embraced by the Democratic Party. And today, the House of Representatives is scheduled to vote on a resolution condemning the president for saying mean things about these poor, poor women from marginalized communities. They're so oppressed that they have been elected to Congress. Would that we should all be so oppressed, doesn't it? Wouldn't you like to be oppressed at $174,000 a year? I know I sure would. The horror of it all. But, of course, reality will not creep into the vacant space behind their eyes. The for rent sign will remain hanging. They will not allow reality to creep in. Cory Booker tweeted that he was so proud of them for speaking their truths. Their truths. There is no their truth or your truth. There is just the truth. And then, as Lionel Hutz put it, there's the truth, and then there's the truth. And these people and all the Democrats speak the truth when it comes to it. Now, after these stirring, emotional opening statements from these four women of color, they opened it up to questions. And the first question went to ABC News. I want you to listen closely to this. This set the tone for the press conference. This was not a press conference. This really was a Nuremberg-style rally. The very first question came from ABC News' Mary Bruce. What did she ask? Did she ask for any proof of any of the allegations up there? Did she point out the hypocrisy of saying that, we're all one people, especially women of color? Anything like that? Nope. Nope. She went right for the Hallmark moment, the Lifetime Channel type question, which is really where Mary Bruce should be reporting. Listen for yourself.
Mary, we'll go first.
The president today said that many people agree with him and support these comments. I'm wondering if you can speak directly to those supporters of the president and explain why these comments are so harmful and hurtful. And on a personal note, if you can discuss the consequences and impact a bit of these comments. Have you had to up your security? Are you receiving increased threats?
Could you explain to those stupid Americans out there who aren't clutching their pearls why this is so hurtful? Now, they just spent 10, 15 minutes total bitching about the president, saying he's a horrible racist. He's a Russian puppet. He's a tool. He's ripping off everybody. He's a monster. He's Hitler. He's running concentration camps. He is a Nazi. Can you explain why a tweet over the weekend was so hurtful? And are you receiving increased threats? Are you receiving increased threats? Not anything about an Antifa member whose manifesto parrots the speeches of these people. Nope, nothing like that. Hey, you know, your words were kind of used by a guy who tried to blow up a detention facility over the weekend, and I'm just curious how you feel about that. Are you cool with it? You think that's not good? Would you like to take this opportunity to condemn terrorism from the left? Nope. Not a single question about that. This was one of the tougher questions that they got as well. That's how sick these people are in the media. You think the people up on stage are crazy? Well, fine. Listen to the people off the stage asking the questions, and then you really begin to see how deep the anti-Americanism runs in this country on the left. They're insane. They're nuts. But they'll never be called out on it because they will never go any place that will be challenged. To prove that point, Ilhan Omar, very brave. She puts a bicep, you know, the flexed arm bicep in her tweets sometimes to indicate just how strong she is. And to show how strong she is, she's a strong black woman. She went to the toughest interview she's willing to face. She went and sat down with Rachel Maddow on MSNBC last night. I swear to God, I'm not even kidding this. I have just a little snippet of that so you can see Rachel Maddow. No, there were no questions worth playing Rachel Maddow up. But listen to what Ilhan Omar is allowed to say unquestioned and unchallenged on the alleged news network known as MSNBC.
He's called on us to go back and fight corruption and fight these countries that have worst leaders and inept leaders. Well, we are living in one. He is that president. He is corrupt. He is the worst president we've had. He is inept, and we're going to call him out for it, and we're going to hold him accountable. We're going to talk about the policies that he's creating that we think are setting our country back, and we're going to make sure that not do we only resist to him, but that we insist on furthering policies that are going to guarantee health care for people, that are going to provide proper education that they need, that is going to make sure that they are not forever shackled with student debt, that's going to provide the kind of housing that is proper, that's going to take care of our veterans, our disabled, and our most vulnerable, which is our children, our elderly. And we're going to make sure that we are moving the agenda we were sent to move here in Congress.
It reads like a child's letter to Santa, doesn't it? We're going to make sure that nobody is saddled with debt. We're going to make sure that everybody has food and housing and a masseuse should their back ache or their feet ache. We will give full employment. We will make everything. Comrade, come to us. It will be wonderful utopia, you see? And if you dare step out of line, we will have to send you to Gulag. But hey, Gulag, you get to work. You get long hours. Give you purpose. Be good times. Yes? Yes, you like many good times. These people are insane. Of course, Rachel Maddow sounds, if you notice, whenever I play a clip from Rachel Maddow, you hear the That is her standard reaction to some left-wing lunatic spewing absolute insanity. She turns into the Pillsbury Doughboy. It's no wonder Microsoft got out of that deal. People forget that MS in MSNBC used to stand for Microsoft, and soon thereafter, Microsoft said, "Yeah, you know what? We'll sell you our part. It's all good. It's cool. We're out of here." So the lesson for today, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin to wrap up the program, is that you are not allowed to disagree with anybody who is a Democrat, especially women of color. That is really it. That's all you should take away from this. They are above criticism. Everybody is equal. They love everybody, especially women of color. Can you imagine? If you have a bunch of kids, gather them around. Look, I love all of you, especially little Billy. See how that goes over. See if you don't think that people are going, wait a second, I don't feel like you love me equally to Billy. Or Billy might actually turn around and go, wait a second, why are you singling me out? Do you secretly, have you been acting like you love me less? Because if you look at what the Democratic Party has done to the marginalized communities over which they have had exclusive and absolute dominion over the past 60 years, you might begin to question whether or not they're, you know, doing to the word love in the dictionary the same thing they're doing to the word gender in the dictionary. It's just a thought, just one I want to leave you with. You can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com if you want to enter to win the signed Kayleigh McEnany books, or complain, call me a horrible racist, go for it. I don't care. That's why, you know, I really truly believe that this country would be much better off, and this is going to sound really arrogant, but know that it comes from a place of incredibly low self-esteem. I really believe that this country would be much better off if more people spoke as freely as I do here. I am so immune and indifferent to being called a racist by the left and charges of racism against anybody from the left that I immediately disbelieve them, which is sad because real racism, of course, the left never calls out real racism, but real racism goes by the wayside for politically expedient cries of racism. So many people on the right are afraid to speak in blunt terms about the issue of race because they are terrified of being called a racist. I'm not. I don't care. I know who I am. I know I'm not a racist. I know I couldn't give a crap. I know that racism, real racism, pisses me off. And if you go into it with that attitude, they can't hurt you. They can't come after you. They can't do anything to you because you just take it right back to them. And that's what I like best about President Trump, is he does that on just about everything. If more people stood up for themselves rather than apologizing, the John Kasich wing of the Republican Party, the Republican Party might not be in the minority in the House of Representatives right now, and these lunatics, they'd probably still be a national fixation, but it'd be unlikely that anybody would find AOC working at her bar, sitting in a drum circle, plotting on how people can overthrow the U.S. government and impose utopia because it's worked so well everywhere else. She wouldn't have a vote in Congress. None of these people would. But the Democrats have to really get their house in order because this rat infestation is going to take over if they don't. That's kind of why I think the president probably should have remained silent for a few days. But that's neither here nor there. The cat and the bag are fully separated by 10 yards now. Be ready, this crap is going to last all week. And we'll cover it along with all the other news and all the other happenings. Don't forget Friday's show with Molly Hemingway and Carrie Serovino on their book Justice on Trial. Don't forget to enter the contest to win Kayleigh McEnany signed books. Don't forget to share this on social media. However you do it, spread it. If you can find the post on the Daily Caller's website, please share that on Facebook. It seems to disappear alarmingly quickly, but it's out there somewhere, or I post it on my Facebook page, which is all public. But anyway, thank you for listening. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow.
Who's called black athletes sons of bitches.